So these past few weeks, our episodes have been in collaboration with Yayasan Mendaki. And for those of you who don't know, Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Singapore Malay Muslim community. What they do is that they assist students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and lifelong learning. If you wish to know more, or if you want to know how you can receive assistance, you may visit my.mendaki.org.sg. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode on the Mizzi Wahid podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, for sharing your favorite episodes with your loved ones through the links and through social media. We are truly, truly grateful for your meaningful support. So in this episode, we are going to look into safeguarding a child's well-being. And today we have a very special guest with us today. She was the same guest that we had in the previous episode. If you missed the previous episode, it is a must that you go back and you listen to it because it's something you don't want to miss. We covered so much amazing content there, and I'm excited to have her once again. But to reintroduce herself, I'm going to share with you a bit more about this wonderful person. She is an adjunct lecturer from a reputable early childhood teacher training agency. She specializes in the early years of advanced certificate called AC training courses, as well as some modules for the diploma. Ms. Nadira served in a local volunteer welfare organization for 25 years, mashallah. She helmed as the director for its early childhood division for 10 years. She also conducts teacher training sessions for organizations on a variety of topics, such as working with infants and toddlers, child development, mentoring, as well as leadership. She has served as a consultant in a parenting agency, Compass Connects, that provides parenting workshops and talks. Nadira also serves as an advisory committee member for the mosque-based kindergarten centers and an implementation assessor for the Islamic Religious Council of Singapore's Alive programs. She has worked with Mendaki in its reintegration program for female inmates with Singapore Prison Services. She has also provided training for parents with young children under Mendaki's parenting program with Seed Institute. With Seed Institute, she has served as a mentor for their Principal Matters program with Lian Foundation. Nadira believes in self-leadership, where it is pertinent to be able to lead oneself before others through ongoing self-reflections. She hopes this will anchor respectful and reciprocal practices in instilling values and influence with dedicated adults for betterment of children and families. So, without further ado, let's bring on board to today's episode once again, Ms. Nadira Koyakuti. Assalamualaikum, Ms. Nadira. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Thank you for being here with us again.
Thank you for having me.
I thoroughly enjoyed the episode, and I believe that a lot of my listeners enjoyed it too. So today we want to continue from where we left off.
Okay.
About helping our children adapt to changes, how to manage emotions.
Mm.
And I guess it's for both the parents and the children.
Mm.
Right. So ever since COVID-19 started, and we're just slowly getting out of it. Although I just saw a rise in number of cases again.
Yeah.
The use of digital devices has become a norm, without a doubt, including even those in preschool. Mm. And I would say that most of them are getting used to online means of learning. I signed up my kids for some online platforms for them to learn every day, reading, problem sums, exercises, and they can adapt well.
Definitely.
They do enjoy it to a certain extent. But we want to also focus, Ms. Nadira, on how do we safeguard their well-being, especially in their mental health and emotional development with all of this that's happening. Mm. Because going into face-to-face, like my P1 son, right? Their childhood was taken away from them somewhat when COVID happened.
Definitely.
Right? I do feel for them because they didn't have the kind of childhood that many of us had, the freedom to explore, to travel. I think even PE sessions were limited in school because of COVID. I think there is a form of awkwardness when they want to go back to face-to-face, right? Due to the COVID restrictions that were put in place. So do you think this might have an impact on a child's overall well-being, especially in their way to communicate their thoughts and their feelings? And on that note, Ms. Nadira, what do you think parents can do to support their child in this situation?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Very interesting, as you were sharing, you know, so the thoughts were going all over again and all. And you said that children do enjoy technology. I hear you. Maybe it's for us that we struggle a bit with technology, but I learn a lot from young people about technology. I have a 10-year-old who teaches me this thing in that sense. My take is we need to embrace technology. There's no way you're going to say, oh, I can't. While development of children is the same and is universal, the environment is ever-changing. And today's environment is technology environment. So we embrace the technology. If I were to put in anything about technology before I get into COVID, okay, is at the end of the day, technology is a tool. Tool for communication. Okay, so we manage the tool. Don't let the tool manage you. So it's again about knowing your limitations and things like that. So come to this COVID story. Yes, our children, oh God, you know.
Deprived, some of them.
And it's really, really hard, especially those who were coming from certain socioeconomic statuses, you know, when COVID happened. It was a struggle to be at home because there's just too many people at home, you know, and I have to function from home. Space is one thing. The sharing of gadgets is another. A lot had to be done. That's why you had schools that were giving out gadgets and what have you. And when they gave the gadgets, they didn't have a good Wi-Fi thingy. It's a big
another
issue.
Problem.
Yeah, it's still a big issue and things like that and all. So when you think about this, yes, it did. It did. All challenges are for us to learn from. Well, did we survive it? I think we're surviving it, right? We are surviving it, right? A lot of, oh my goodness, a lot of it. I've been teaching from home for the last 3 years. You know? Only yesterday I went back to campus session. What a feeling. What a feeling, you know, to finally see people and all. What more children. The thing about COVID, and did it really take away children's or did it make children more awkward in that sense and all? We got to see this again. If you're coming from that 5-6 years old, okay, being in a childcare center or a kindergarten center during that heightened period and all, many times these centers were not closed. Right, parents depended on it for, even if they were working from home, you know, they needed the children to go so they can actually concentrate on the work that they're supposed to do from home and whatever. So childcare is essential service. So didn't close. I think it was a very short period in that early COVID thing that they had HBL. But after that and all, is back to centers. So children, for the 6-year-olds and all, not so much, okay? Because they still went back to school. There were still friends there and things like that and all, okay? The thing is, because of all the restrictions, you were masked throughout the day. That itself is suffocating, okay, and muffled. You know, language is so important that you see the mouth, so that you pick up the annotation in the
module. Especially at that age.
At that age. Younger, but muffled. You know,
some of them are with low self-esteem, so they don't speak out as loudly.
Yeah, and some of them are soft, naturally soft. So that becomes a bit. Hearing the teacher also sometimes it becomes that. You know, and to pick up language, you know, it's really seeing everything and watching the mouth
clarity.
Move. You know, the thing in that sense, and also that, and then also they were spaced. You know, the meal times were no longer together. They had all the shields and screens and whatnot. I'm there, but I'm still alone kind of a thing. So did it affect? Yes. Okay, we are slowly opening up. But you need to understand that this age group of 6, 7, 8, it's language period. Okay, what they didn't have in the younger days, they communicated differently. These children is about language. They know the power of language. And I think they have about, what did I say about? to no the earlier 15 to 21k vocabulary, you know, vocabulary. And again, this vocabulary is based on the words that they hear in their environment,
including at home.
Yep, including anywhere, everywhere. Yeah, especially at home, actually, you know, school too. Okay, and look, 6 year old. I spoke a bit about the brain, the capacity of the brain, you know. Look at that, you know. Mm. We're talking about a lot. By 6 year old, you know, we're talking about this amount of vocabulary. Mm. And if you look at it, the new words, they can go up to 2.5 to 2.8K of words, you know. That's about 5,000 words a day, new words a day, you know. And when I say words, it's words that they hear, okay, from their environment. Good words, bad words, whatever words, it's there. And children learn by imitation, okay? It's not only the meaning of the word, how it's enunciated, how it's said, you know?
They mimic everything.
Yeah, everything. Mm. So that power is there. And the other thing about this age group is about friends. Mm. Making friends, keeping friends, you know, very powerful. And they learn very fast. If I don't, I'm going to lose my friends. Mm. Big comparison to the younger children, okay, your 2 year old, 3 year old. If you don't friend me, that's your problem. I don't have a problem with that. I'm fine.
Sounds like my 4 year old.
Yeah, they don't have a problem. They don't need that. I can keep myself engaged.
She claims everybody wants to be her friend. She doesn't remind.
Yeah. But you go take that to a 6 year old, take that to a 7 year old. Friends, you know, and though they learn very fast, I got to use my words, I got to negotiate. Mm. So negotiate is a skill, language skill, see? And that's why it's so important that they have it.
Can we teach them all of this in a more playful setting?
Definitely. It has, I would say that's the basis, play. Mm. Play is the basis of how you learn words.
Because some parents might be listening to this, oh, does it mean I have to sit down and go through textbooks?
No, I'm not talking about vocabulary books. I'm talking about the capacity to absorb that amount, absorb it, understanding. I mean, they can use it in context. Mm. They can use it. That shows they understand. Again, we're talking about the frontal part of the brain, you know, that they'll be able to do this, they're able to do this. And they also learn that what's a powerful tool that I can use to highlight what's in my mind. That image that I have in my mind,
to articulate it,
I can articulate it with one word. Mm. Okay? The power, you know, suddenly I have the power, you know, in that sense. And that's why if you know 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, they talk and talk and talk. And parents like, oh, goodness
stop
gracious
talking.
Me.
But just a few years ago, please stop.
Yeah.
Now it's stop talking.
Right. And again, you see, this is what I'm talking about. When they were younger, we kind of like, when they're not talking, they're just not ready for it. And that doesn't mean they're not learning. They're absorbing. That numbers, they're absorbing. They're listening. They're listening, they're watching. Come that 5, 6, 7, 8, boom, they give it back to you. Mm. Right? So what went in? If it was good, wow. Mm. Yeah, and that's why it's so, so important. We always say this, you know, talk to your children from the day conceiving already, you have that conversation. You know, they need to hear this. Mm. You know? So it's a very powerful tool. So play, okay? Mm. Play with them. That will enhance language, okay? I'm talking about if they're younger, okay? One of the excellent plays for language is role play. Mm. Okay, role play. And as I was thinking about coming here, you know, because the in thing today is podcasts and all this internet thingy and all, set it up. Mm. Okay, give them the opportunity to be a DJ. Give them last time when I was teaching, once upon a time, we used to make TV sets for children. We make with boxes and all, and we got them to be newscasters, 5 year old, 6 year old, because that's what they were used to. They actually watch news. Mm. Today, no, it's not going to work. It has to be the in thing of today.
YouTube.
Get them to come up with a YouTube.
Yeah. Pretend like you're doing a YouTube video. Or actually record
actually,
one.
Actually record one. You know, and I'm not let so in favor of TikTok. Okay.
I'm not on TikTok.
Okay. But need to think about creative ways they can do this. Mm. But that requires a lot of preparation. Mm. That requires maybe some monetary thingy. So we may not have that. But play. What's stopping you in playing at home, is create something.
Mm.
Okay, get them to compare, you know, become a compare. Or set up like a, I don't know, what's the in thing today? Is it about, what's the in thing today?
What do you mean?
Like, what do they see in society that they can create a play environment? If you're talking about the younger children, we used to set up like a saloon and do some, become a pet shop.
I think anything still works, you know. Like one of my son loves cars, so he says, okay. I want to run a car dealership.
Okay, yeah.
So he put all the toy cars there. And
okay, so I wasn't sure whether this is the in thing. They like this thing about a garage, a repair car. Yeah. I don't know what you call
My son.
I call it garage. Now it's called what? A car workshop. Repair. Workshop. Okay. Mm. All right. So, oh God, it shows that I'm ancient. Okay. All right. A car workshop and then repairing cars and all. And then the vocabulary is going to be so much to that.
Mm.
Okay. The name of the car. Oh my goodness. I'm impressed by the names, you know. And I think the other thing that I saw in some of the children when F1 was here, that names of those cars, you know, and that thing. And then when they repair, you have all the tools that they use and all. So take that into another context. I'm not so sure what's the in thing, you know.
I think a lot of what we used to play with, I think the kids still can do. Like, for example, the salon thing you mentioned.
Maybe a restaurant.
They go to restaurants or fast
food.
Okay,
so they can come up with a menu. They can come up, you know, and you see the skills coming there, the vocabulary that's going to be there in that sense. So it's really giving these different experiences and then the vocabulary that will come there.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that they can do. Because at the end of the day, when you talk about this, it's about building children's esteem. This is so important, I feel. It's esteem meanings the child must feel I am valued. I am a someone. I'm not a something. Right? And therefore, if you asking your parents can do all this, and as you're doing this, boost that esteem. Boost it.
How would a parent do that if the parent struggles with self-esteem?
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. So I will say this. Okay? I will say this. Do you want to have a domino effect, or do you want to have a ripple effect? So you think about this. What comes to mind when I ask you, domino effect, ripple effect?
Domino is things just falling one after another.
Okay.
Ripple is like continuous.
Continuous, right? Continuous. So if you go for domino effect, okay, it's going to be vicious cycle. One generation after another generation after another.
Okay.
We got to break this.
Mm.
Breaking this is education.
Mm.
Go and attend talks. Listen to such talks. Go and attend workshops. It breaks this cycle.
Mm.
Then you can change this viciousness to virtuousness.
Mm.
That's another V word. We don't use this.
Mm.
Virtuousness. That will give this ripple effect.
Mm.
So it cascades like that. It's like, wow.
Mm.
Wow, in that sense. Does it help your esteem? Inshallah, it will. Inshallah, well, I believe in that.
What should be the focus when you're helping your child's self-esteem? What are you trying to take note of? Like, is it their facial expressions, their body language, the things they say about themselves, how happy they are? Like,
so you need to actually spend time on that. The focus will be in terms of strength. Okay, I don't know. I it's coming later, but never mind. Okay, we need to see in terms of abilities. Okay, I gotta say this at this point of time because I think it's here. Is what do you see? Okay, you are seeing based on your lens. Okay, you need to see it from their lens. They're excited about the things, the most mundane things. They're very excited, like, oh God, you know, thing like, you know, you see my pen, I'm like, oh, okay, big deal. So anyway, right? But to them, it's a big deal. Are we going to brush that off? Are we going to pick that up in that sense? Because you see, children are born with this sense of wonder. Naturally.
Yeah.
They wonder about it. Everything is like, wow, ooh, thing. But it dies so fast because every time they bring it up, it gets like, what's the big deal, you know? You know, if I were to use a Malay word for it, jakun, you know, kind of, okay. So we kind of suppress it a bit. So after some time, it may not be there. So first thing, know that we all have feelings, okay? We are born with some basic feelings. The basic feelings are happiness, anger, sad and fear. These are basic. And as they grow, there will be new feelings that will come in, okay? Things like shyness, things like embarrassment, things like jealousy, things like pride, achievement, that is going to come in. So they're going to feel this. Many times, children feel it without knowing what's the feeling. So we spend the first part of the year giving words to it, naming these feelings and all. So when you see this, you acknowledge this feeling, whatever it is. Whatever it is. And when you acknowledge, it is just acknowledging that feeling. It is not to add whether this is good or bad. Okay? Okay, I see that you're upset. Okay? You don't go into... very common, I hear, okay? Can I get angry, okay? Can I get angry? I'm like, why? Why cannot? This is how I'm feeling. I am angry right now. And I think we rub it in more by saying, oh, you're angry. Say sorry, say sorry. I don't feel like saying sorry. I feel like sucking his face right now. You know? And you're asking me to say sorry, you know? And like, shake hands, shake hands. I see this a lot, you know? And I'm like, why? Why must he? You know, because these are things you cannot teach. You know, if he feels sorry, it's a feeling he has, in which he will articulate. Okay,
and can we ask them instead? Do you feel sorry that you did that? Can we ask them instead, and then allow them to feel?
You're giving the answer. Do you feel sorry? Versus, how do you feel about that?
Oh, keep it even more generic.
Keep it open-ended, more generic, right? Oh my!
Let them digest their own emotions.
Okay, you said, oh my, he's look at Adam. He's crying. He's so sad. How, darling? How? What do we do? Instead of saying you made him cry, that's no. See that I see
the
this.
The moment we suggest a reaction, it prevents them from actually sharing what they feel, right?
Yeah, it kind of, you put the word in for me already, okay? And you already judge me. That's the huge thing. I've already been judged, okay? So acknowledge that, okay? When they do, I think what we need to do is. Celebrate the successes, the good things. So we are very quick with that wrong moment. Go with the successes, acknowledge it. And if it's a desirable behavior, acknowledge it, celebrate it. Because if I hear this, okay, I hear this, I'm doing the right thing, then I know this is a thing that is acceptable. This is a thing that's making my parents happy. This is the things that are making my teachers happy. Therefore, I do it again. If it's not a desirable behavior, then I need to say it too. Look, it's not desirable behavior. Yeah. But instead of zooming on the child, okay, such a messy child you are, versus the way you play, you know, when you don't put your toys back, it creates such a mess. Huge thing. I am messy. To environment is messy. So if you highlight that, then the child know the behavior is. I didn't keep the toys. Not I am the thing. So it helps in that sense. So both ways. I'm highlighting the thing is look for what they can. They have goodness. Can we zoom into that? Difficult. This one needs practice. I have to say this. As a parent, it takes practice. Really, really takes practice.
Because a lot of us probably are so used to all the examples you gave earlier that are more on the negative side, because I could relate to some of those things too. I've done some of those things too. As a parent, and it's going to take time for us to unlearn all of that and instill new habits of parenting too.
Okay. And again, this is because of what we experienced as parents when we were young. So like I say, if you continue that, then you have just succeeded in the vicious domino effect. If you consciously tell yourself, okay, I'm going to make that conscious effort to do it differently, then you have contributed to that virtuous ripple effect. The choice is yours. In that sense. Not easy. Talk is cheap. Yeah. Not easy. I'm a parent too, so I've been through this. Okay.
But ultimately, what we want is the overall well-being of our children. Correct. And when we think about the well-being of our children, many of us associate it with mental health and emotional development. And I believe that apart from those aspects, physical health and overall safety of our child is also important. Education and learning, relationships, social behavior can also be included as well. And for all of these types of well-being, it would be great if we as parents are equipped with how to teach our children to self-monitor themselves, right? So Nadira, what's your take on this?
Okay, Self-monitoring is the proper word is called self-regulation. How do you regulate this? Okay, so again, I'm going to highlight that it's about regulating your emotions. Okay, and I'm going to reiterate this. I'm going to reiterate this over and over again. Emotions are norm. Norm. Do not suppress it, especially those negative ones. When you suppress it, in our body structure, we are not created to suppress. It's going to come out, and it's going to come out wrongly when it has been suppressed. Very common. You have sons, right?
Yep.
When your boys get angry, when your boys cry, what have you told them?
When I was a child, I'm always being told, don't cry, you're a boy.
So now
I learned that that's not very healthy.
Okay.
So when my boys cry, I come and I hug them and then allow them to, you know, flush out their tears and everything. Okay. And then I talk to them.
Very good.
Yeah.
30 points.
Because I learned from my own experience.
Exactly. So you
see, because as a man, I struggle with expressing emotion because when I was younger, I was told not to.
And this is so wonderful for you because you made the choice to make it virtuous. Bravo. So you get my 30 points. Susano to get my 30 points. Okay. Right? So you see, but till today, we still hear this. Big boys, don't cry. You hear this at home. You hear this in the childcare. You hear this in school. Big boys, don't cry. You're a boy, you know. So what if I am a boy? Who gave the license that only girls can cry? Who gave this license? And if a boy cannot cry, when he grows up, he will never understand a woman who does nothing but cry. Yes? Women have no reason to cry, you know. We cry for happy,
and
cry,
and
cry,
also
cry.
I mean, we can go deep with this, I guess, another episode.
Episode of this.
Because when a man learns to suppress so well, when he becomes an adult, he doesn't know how to release it apart from maybe vulgarities, abuse, anger.
Again, that's the vocabulary that he has been fed. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, many unhealthy habits that are picked up. Okay. So it's a big problem. And so this self, you said it's the proper term is self-regulation. You know, how else can we as parents help our children?
Okay, so first thing, understand this. Emotions are norm.
Okay.
I gave anger and sadness as an example. I'm going to give happiness as an example too, which you need to regulate. Because we don't see it as a problem, you know?
Yeah.
You don't see it as a problem. Actually, even happiness needs to be regulated. We had an experience with a child, okay? Oh, mashallah, this child. No, it's been many years, but it's the child. But this was already, I was already at management level, so I visit centers and all, we had an experience. He has all this excitement in him, all this happiness in him. And it's a bit like this, you know, that you see the bus interchange. And our school has this. So happened that we had a big window like this so we can see parents as they're walking in. Okay? When he sees his mother walking down that aisle, that excitement, that happiness, okay? And because he does not know how to regulate it, he throws all the books, he throws all the toys, he turns the class. I mean, I'm like, why, darling, why? Happy my mother's coming.
Oh my goodness.
So you see, it's not only with anger and sadness, you know?
Yeah.
Happiness too needs to be regulated in what we call society's norms. Blech, what? But we want to acceptable ways, slightly simple way is that acceptable ways. But society is not. No, when you're over happy, you know, and you cannot regulate it, it's going to come out wrong. Likewise, anger, likewise, sadness. And what more if the anger, when it's suppressed, it comes out as aggression. It's worse, you know, in that sense. So it has to be regulated. And this you already see, even in infants you see, you know, where they asleep, they're deep sleep, and then they wake up, they cry a bit. Okay, and you know that if you come in and you make eye contact, they're going to be awake, and you don't want the child to be awake. You know, you should sleep through this thing. And then the child cries a bit, you know, and then gets up, look, and then regulates the child back into sleep again. You didn't even come to, that's regulation. I got up a bit, I'm a bit upset about it, but I'm going to put myself back to sleep. They can do this from infancy.
Yeah.
What more when they're older? They would have mastered it a bit. So they need to regulate this in what we call appropriate ways. If I'm angry, yes, I get angry. Fine, I'm angry about something. I'm angry at someone, whatever it is. Okay, right, so and we spoke about this, get it out of the system, then what do you want to do about it? Yeah. My, especially if it's a someone.
Yeah. My wife and I, we just had this conversation in this morning over breakfast. We noticed that our son, our first son, i.e. second child, he used to have an anger issue when he was younger. Talking toddler, 2-3 years old. Now that he's 9, surprisingly, we thought he was just going to get worse compared to everyone. Now he's the best at it. Somehow he's figured it out himself, how to self-regulate his emotions.
Correct.
We were so surprised.